scripture lesson this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. And if you would like to follow along with me, take your pew Bibles and in the New Testament portion, turn to page 225. Scripture this morning deals with the meaning of faith. And as I was thinking about this, as I was reading it this week, it occurred to me that faith isn't just a word. It's the basis of our Christian faith, and it's an action. It's the way we live our lives. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Now, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, by faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Now, therefore, from one person, and this one was as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Now, all of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners in the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, we say one person or another person is a person of faith. Well, how do we know they're a person of faith? How do we know that they're a person of faith? They tell us that they're a person of faith, or they show us? Show us. You see that. You know, they tell us that children, from the very beginning, you know, they're listening, but they don't always understand. But they're watching you. And what you do, they repeat. sometimes at the least desirable opportunity. So Petra must have been doing something good, because Sydney and Sierra seem to be doing very, very well. But let's look at what the scriptures are. And, you know, we've had so much with Colossians and the writings of Paul. And just as a side note, Hebrews is one of those books that we don't really have a definitive authorship for it. There are a lot of people in the first century and second century Christian church who said Paul wrote it. And then there are others that say, well, it's not like any of Paul's writing. It doesn't match. It doesn't follow his form and the way he presents things. But I think for the most part, people have accepted that Paul is most probably the author. And I would argue the point that the way he articulates and builds on is very Pauline, if not from him, but very much like him. Let's look at verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Oh, wait a minute. If you can't see it, touch it, hear it, taste it, is it really there? How can we tell? How many sailors? How many people have been out on the boats on the water? You always see the wind? When it fills that sail, you do, and you feel the power. Sailing along a beach and you see a bunch of trees bent over in the wind, you know there's wind. Paul in Colossians said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, this is in Colossians 6:7, which we covered 3 weeks ago. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Think about this. If you have an abiding faith, if that faith abides in you, it's part of you. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. How many of you remember that song, Blessed Assurance? Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Assurance. Assurance is what? Assurance is a guarantee. It's a promise. He will fulfill it. Jesus Christ is all about fulfilling promises. Promises that God the Father has made to Abraham, to Isaac, to David, to Noah. To you, to me. I am yours. And you are mine. This faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Hoped for. I have an assurance that this pew is solid. That I can sit down in this pew and it's not going to collapse and fall. That's an assurance that I can be reassured by each and every time I reach out and grab it. But faith is a hope and an assurance for things hoped for. In other words, something that's not necessarily tangible. I might not be able to reach out and touch it. But I can see it. I can have faith in it. I can have hope in it, even though there's nothing tangible there. There's a connection. That's how much God loves us. That's how we can have faith and hope for Him. An assurance. An assurance. It's His personal guarantee. He hung on that cross. It wasn't three nails that held Him up there. It was His love for you. Your sin, my sin, put Him there. It's God's grace and Jesus' love for you that He stayed up there until it was finished. What was finished? Your salvation. And it's up to you to take that on board, accept it. Conviction for things not seen. You know, the American jurisprudence, you're assumed to be innocent until proven guilty. Unless, you know, the court, if it's a judge case, or a trial by jury, the jury finds the defendant guilty. They're convicted of the crime, whatever they were charged with. And then you pay the penalty for it. There's a sentence that follows. But with this blessed assurance, this thing hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, in other words, is there enough evidence of your faith and your hope for that kingdom, that new Jerusalem, that new heavenly body, that people can see that there's something different about you, that people can see that God really is at work in you. Now, granted, there are people that have got greater gifts. There are some of us that just have a few pieces in that pile of that toolbox of talents. But each and every one of the talents that we have is a gift from God. So use it. And the more you use it, the better you'll get at it. And if you're using it to the glory of God, hallelujah, keep doing it. It's for His glory, not yours. Verse 2, indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. Now, this is where I think that Paul really, or someone very Paul-like, wrote Hebrews. Because follow this. He's logically laying out the evidence so that you can be convicted of faith. By faith, we understand that the world were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that were not visible. We know in John, it says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and nothing was created without Him, and the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel. I just ran through that pretty quick. But it's also something that we get in Genesis, and it says that God spoke into the void and created. There was nothing there. There wasn't a pile of dust. There wasn't this matter or antimatter that some big bang explosion occurred, and all of a sudden everything started, this chain of events, and we've got galaxies and stars and moons and suns and whatever. God spoke into the void and created. That's our faith. Scientists have been trying, since there have been scientists, to prove or disprove that. Good luck to them. You got to have faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Now, people, I've wondered, you know, when you read the account of Cain and Abel and you think about the offering, it's like, what was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? It was first fruits. What was better about Abel's? It was first fruit. Well, it was blood. Well, there was no distinction prior to that that the offering had to be made, or that the offering had to be a blood sacrifice. And God, when He walks among and goes to Cain and says, why are you downtrodden? What's wrong with your heart? You think God doesn't know you? That's an example of how God knows you from the very beginning. By faith, Enoch was taken. One of the commentators used the phrase translated. By faith, Enoch was taken, so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. Another reading is, Enoch walked with God and was not. When I've read this before, and it was the first time as I was reading the commentator, and the way they phrased it, by faith, Enoch was taken. And they used the phrase translated. Think about this. When we take go with God in English, now we want to convey that to someone who speaks Spanish. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Well, okay, if you know Spanish and someone translates that and says, okay, anybody in here know Spanish? Is that okay? I hope that was right. It worked on my translator. But think about that. You take one thing that is one thing. Go with God, English. It's a thought. It's an idea. It's a commendation. And then you say, Vaya con Dios. It's translated. It's saying exactly the same thing. Think of the human body. We are perishable. We are damaged goods for the most part. But by the Holy Spirit and His working on us, we ultimately are translated into the resurrection bodies that Christ has ready for us. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Were it not so, I would not tell you. Enoch had faith in God because he was walking with God, because he was following God, because he was having a conversation with God in which he listened to God. He wasn't perfect. It doesn't say that he was perfect. It doesn't say that he didn't sin. It just says that Enoch walked with God and was not. He was translated from that human, perishable form to an imperishable, heavenly form. Why? Because he pleased God. And at what we're all supposed to be doing. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith is the bedrock. Faith is the foundation upon which our entire lives are built. We go back to Paul. We go back to Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. If you've received Jesus Christ, confess with your lips and believe in your hearts. Continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. It's all about what God has done for you. It's all about what God is doing with you. It's all about what God wants you to do for everybody else. Notice how God is in all of that. And you're connected. He wants you. He's called you. He's sacrificed for you. And as we receive His body given, His blood shed, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice I stop with 6. That's not to say that the faith of Noah, the faith of Abraham, the faith of Sarah, any of those is any less. It's enough to know that it's your faith in God. And without that faith, we can't please Him. But it's with that faith that even with all of the extra baggage we've got, even all the dirty things we've done in our lives, we can walk into that new Jerusalem just like John. We can walk into that heavenly kingdom and see Louise over there. My mom, my dad, my brother, and you've got them up there too. And we're going to see them. Well met, good and faithful servant. Well met, good and faithful servant. be filled with faith. And let there be enough evidence to convict you that you are. Shalom.